Good morning. We are here on a Friday and fresh off of...
Who are you and what did you do with Tiffany Blackman this morning?
What are you talking about?
That was a great, lively good morning.
It was, because I'm laughing in my head that we're just coming fresh off of talking about Bo's parenting tips. But let me say this. This is the morning shift. And I think we may have already said it. We're live here at the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you.
Can we just get this out in the open?
What?
You came in smiling this morning. I'm just curious why. You came in smiling.
I knew you were going to put me on.
Why were you smiling so hard?
I made my coffee at home today.
Is that what it was?
Okay. That's exactly what it was.
If that's what it was.
Is that American coffee?
Or is it a French blend?
It might be French vanilla.
Nespresso. Y'all are so stupid. Is espresso Italian?
I just didn't know. Okay.
Is it? I don't know. I have no clue what espresso.
Nespresso. I didn't know
if we need to have one of those shows where we lay on the couch and stare at the ceiling and talk about our feelings.
Remember, you can say you need space.
I do not need space.
Apparently that's a thing.
I think
Bo is misconstruing what the situations are when this happens. Like, it's not an argument.
Happens?
It's not really an argument.
We're talking about that again. Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's not an argument over a toy. It's just simply like the kids are wrestling. One doesn't want to wrestle. One's being too aggressive. It's like, no. Do you swing back? No. Hands are for, you know. Hands are for coloring. All right. I need space.
Not for throwing hands.
Yeah. And the bottom line is, if you're a daycare worker, you're like, that's somebody else's problem. I'm just trying to survive the day.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for it, man. And I'm very nitpicky about how my kids are taught, but I'm good on that. That's fine.
If you missed our handoff with Dylan, we were discussing Mike's 2-year-old learning the phrase, just, I need space. When they get upset,
yeah,
you just say, I need space. But now they've flipped it and they're using it against you.
Yeah. Which is
quite hilarious.
I'm like, you're going to time
out. Also really smart.
I need space, Daddy.
Really smart.
And I'm like, I need space. Matter of fact, I need you to go play on your playhouse or something.
It's very smart.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's hats off to them because they definitely pulled the Uno reverse on me.
Rather talk about kids than, France. So, but
just saying.
I was happy yesterday.
Who brought up France?
I was fine yesterday.
Who brought up France? Did anybody bring up France?
No, but you guys.
I just asked what kind of coffee you had.
Somebody else brought it up then.
I was in the same. I was fine yesterday, too.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't. But I wouldn't say quite to this level. Yesterday, you were at like a 7. Today, you're at a 10. Giggly. Smiling.
Dylan, shut your mouth.
I was actually about to defend you.
Oh, you were? Oh,
yeah,
my bad.
I was.
My bad. Continue.
I was going to say, Tiff just can't be happy just for the sake of being happy, alive, and well. And, you have a very...
Dylan, shut your mouth.
You're going to be...
Thank you,
you're going to be able to get some extra rest this week because you have a bye week
space.
This week.
We need space.
Thank you, Dylan.
We need space from you.
Exactly why.
You know the minute that Bo puts his hood up today, what I'm going to say. I'm going to be like, do you need some space?
Oh, yeah.
You need some space.
Well...
Since you're so good at confronting your problems head on.
Tiff, I'll tell you that... Chris Lindstrom, Caleb McGarry, Matthew Bergeron, Jake Matthews, Drew Dahlman, they might need space from Chris Jones.
Kirk Cousins needs space, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm.
The big man is coming to town.
Space. Hopefully they'll get space. Much needed space from that guy.
I text Mike this morning and said, I want to watch film on Chris Jones this morning.
He did, which I was like, oh. Okay.
And I said that because I think people need to understand this is not TJ Watt coming to town. When I say that, that is in no way a knock on either player. It is just they are completely different.
Yeah.
When TJ Watt came to town, he was primarily lined up against Caleb McGarry, and that was going to be a thing where the only way that you defended him was one-on-one or with a chip. When Chris Jones comes to town, Mike, he lines up literally everywhere on the defensive line.
Yeah, and they do a good job defensively of not allowing you to know where he's at because then you can't chip on him or help on him or misdirect him every snap. Just in the short amount of film we watched today, he's lined up over left guard, center, right guard, and right tackle. So it's going to be interesting to see the way they utilize him and how all those different matchups go across the board.
Yeah, imagine being an offensive coordinator having to game plan for a game wrecker like that. Let's take a listen to Zach Robinson for the Falcons.
He's been a great player for a long time. Doesn't look any different from what I remember, you know, watching him, you know, 5 years ago. So no decline there. He's incredibly disruptive in all facets of the game, run and pass game. So we got to be aware of where he's at. We got to get hands on him, and it'll be a great challenge for our guys.
Mike, what I see from TJ Watt is he's a guy that is speed is the number one element in his game. Yeah, he's physical, but he's a speed player. Am I wrong on that?
No, yeah, exactly. He's got that burst. He's got the get off. Yeah.
What I see from Chris Jones is physicality with quickness. Is that a good way to describe him?
I think the better way to say it is his game is kind of based in power first and foremost before it is speed. And I think that they're opposite in that regard, where that Chris Jones is going to utilize power to set everything else up, and TJ Watt's kind of the opposite. He's going to get you moving your feet in order to use everything else in the repertoire. But, yeah, you're not far off base. That's pretty good.
Is it safe to say that the guy he matches up, and you and I have kind of talked through this, so we're basically – we've already kind of had this kind of – but – the matchup that I kind of look at that I think is the best for Chris Jones is going against Matthew Bergeron. Is that wrong? And that's a physical guy, but based on what you've told, we've talked about in elements of his game that has yet to come along, wouldn't that be the guy?
Yeah, I think so. Because of the lack of the hand usage sometimes with Bergeron. Yeah, for sure. I will say, though, when you look at how Chris Lindstrom played a week ago, he definitely got a little front heavy at times, and there was two times that was taken advantage of by the Eagles defense line. He gave up two pressures and one sack. That was because he was getting a little bit too far out of his toes. So he definitely has the better hands, and he's more well-equipped. But the size allows Bergeron to be a little bit more consistent. But I definitely – if I'm a defensive coordinator and I'm watching it, I am trying to line him up against Bergeron and Drew Dahlman, just straight up, down and down. Not that Caleb McGarry doesn't struggle, and you're going to see him edge rush, but Caleb McGarry is much more well-suited for a Chris Jones on the edge than he is a TJ Watt, because he doesn't have to move his feet quite as much.
Maybe we can flip it when we come back and do the challenges that the Falcons offense presents for the Chiefs defense, because we'll hear from Bijan Robinson on the momentum from Monday night's win. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the morning shift on Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Short week for the Falcons. They beat the Eagles on Monday Night Football. Now all of their attention the rest of this week has been turned to the Kansas City Chiefs. They will play them on Sunday night, of course, in Sunday Night Football. But what will that momentum do that they got on Monday as they try to take out the former Super Bowl champs? Here's Bijan Robinson.
Well, definitely the same thing, building, you know, confidence in each other. And, you know, some of the mistakes that we had last week, like, we want to eliminate those mistakes. We want to be just more efficient on, you know, some of the, like, even with me, you know, trying to be more efficient on some of the runs, break more tackles. Like, you know, I think I could have broke some more tackles during the game. I think with even in the past game, like, trying to just be alert with the offensive line and communication. But I think the biggest thing is communication with us, because when we communicate on the right level, like, then we're playing at our best and we're playing effectively and not thinking too much. So I think it's definitely communication with this week.
So we've talked about the challenge that the Chiefs defense, Chris Jones, is going to present for this Falcons offense. But if we flip it then, what type of challenge does this Falcons offense now present for the Chiefs, especially now that they got things rolling, you know, Monday?
Yeah, and I think Bijan is that X factor, right? I think when you look at what he does and the multiple things he can do, he is a broken tackle waiting to happen when he gets open space. Now, I think he's actually gotten a lot better in what I've seen so far through two games in running wide zone and sticking his foot in the ground and getting vertical and kind of meshing his style a year ago with what Tyler Algier's style kind of was a year ago, where it's I'm only going to make one move and then I'm going to drag people with me. So I think that's kind of the next gear he's hitting. But I think he is a problem, and I think you have to worry about him. And I think when he gets the ball right now, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, as Falcons fans, it's kind of like you hold your breath waiting on him to rip off a 60-yarder. You know, and he was close a couple of times a week ago.
Yeah, I think his patience is so vastly improved running the football this year as opposed to last year. I feel like he's just waiting that tick just enough this year to allow these holes to open. It every time he touches the football, it felt, not every time, but a lot of times on Monday night, when he touched the ball, I felt like, oh man, like he's you know that home run power is there, and I feel like it's closer that like already in two games. I feel like it's closer to seeing it than we were last year at any point in the run game, I should say. Yeah,
because it was 152 yards on the ground that they had on Monday night, but that was factoring in Tyler Allgeier as well. So what is it about that combination that maybe could do some damage?
Well, let me start with this first and foremost. I think his numbers would have been even more out of hand if, number one, the defense could get off the field in the fourth quarter, and number two, you didn't need a 2-minute drive at the end. Like, if you were in 4-minute mode and your offense was allowed to be on the field, I think that Bijan's numbers are just out of control, right? And obviously, you want to see him getting pay dirt. But I think that a lot of people understand it too. I don't think it's lost in the weeds, but Tyler Allgeier's role with this team is a big one. And I think that what he brings in that backup running back role right now as a two is a legit concern for other teams when he takes the field.
Am I off base when I say that I feel like when you watch these two guys run the ball, it appears that they hit the hole initially with the exact same burst. And the difference is top end speed and then power at the point of attack.
Yeah, and I think it's mindset to those things. Like, I think that when Tyler Allgeier cuts off of wide zone and gets north and south, I think he lowers his eyes just a little bit, lowers his chest a little bit, because he's like ready for contact, almost looking for it. Where Bijan's raised up. He does. I agree with you. He's hitting the hole with the same tenacity, but I think his eyes are a little bit raised because he's like, somebody's about to get their ankle snapped right here at the second level.
And then with Kirk Cousins as well, and the receiving group, right? So Drake London, and we've talked about this throughout the week, the ability to not only catch passes and crucial ones too, but also be able to make blocks. But with this group that they have, what do you think is going to go down on Sunday?
Well, I think Darnell Mooney is – I think you're about to understand why Kirk Cousins went to Terry Fontenot and said Darnell Mooney.
I need that guy.
Yeah. You didn't see much week one, and the offense as a whole, you didn't see much. But week two, Darnell Mooney started to kind of just step into that role with the yak stuff and getting open. I think Darnell Mooney is a threat that really is going to start exposing himself more and more, and he can really put a lot of pressure and stretch defenses.
Yeah, and I think the best thing about it is he put it on film. Right, when you put it on film, guess what the Chiefs are going to watch? Now they're watching, you know, cover zero and Darnell Mooney beating you over the top down the middle of the field and going, well, that wasn't a good idea. Like, they thought they could get home and Kirk Cousins is going to be flat-footed and he's injured, and yet there it is, them getting just roasted down the middle of the field, and now you think twice when you're a safety.
And I think what that does is now, if you're having to pay attention to Bijan, if you're having to pay attention to Darnell, if you're having to pay attention to Drake, are you paying less attention to Kyle? Because maybe this is a get-off game for Kyle.
What comes before Sunday? What day?
Saturday.
See, that was kind of lame.
It's corny.
Oh, I was listening to you guys because I missed the joke that happened.
Well, I don't think it was a joke. I think Mike took it a dirty way.
I just wasn't sure what he was talking about when he said Kyle Pitts is going to have a good game. He just, the way he phrased it was a little bit off-putting, I'll be honest with you. But
I was just staring like, how did I miss something again? Yeah. Okay, well, we're not missing this. College football on Saturday. And you have Josh Heupel, the former Sooner, returning with his Tennessee Vols to take on Oklahoma. So it's number 6. The Vols are ranked. And number 15 is Oklahoma.
Tiff, I was very close to picking this game as my lock of the week. And I won't tell y'all what direction just yet because I'm still not sure. But here's two things that jumped out at me. First of all, Nico Iamaliava is playing his first actual road game. And that is a massive, massive deal. On the flip side, Oklahoma's playing in their first SEC game, which I think is you talk about home. They don't get a lot of big home games at Oklahoma. They just don't. Like, they play Texas every year in Dallas. You know, the last time I can think of one like this is Baker Mayfield and playing Ohio State a number of years back. So this is this atmosphere for Nico Iamaliava is going to be crucial.
Yeah. To your point, they might not get a lot, but it's still a hard place to play. I've talked to people even back, you know, Arch has played in that building before and talked about how it is to play in Norman. Jackson Arnold, for me, how does Oklahoma get him going? You know, he's a guy that can beat you with his legs. they need to probably use the quick game for him and get him comfortable, get him get the ball moving. Their offense has been a little bit of a just non-consistent is the best way to put it. So and Tennessee has been phenomenally good, but they are on the road.
And we're going to get to see, you guys talked about both of the quarterbacks. This is going to should
inconsistent,
be some really
some would
good.
Say.
What did I miss? I'm trying.
I said
Bo's
non-consistent.
Just cracking me up. He's having trouble finding his words. He goes, he just said non-consistent. I don't know. That is funny.
Like, just so you guys know out there, sometimes I'm looking down trying to get the lay of the land. Like, okay, what do we want to hit next in my head? And then these two are like,
Bo's just cracking me
having
up.
Having a moment. So sometimes
his,
I zone
his,
out.
His verbiage. I wish it was one
out.
Word Wednesday. I wish it was one word Wednesday.
You're being very professional, and we are not.
Today
is the way
I am.
To put it. Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
That counts for something, right? All right, USC, Michigan, what you got?
Well, Tiff, this is a traditional Big Ten matchup. I tell you what.
Makes me sick that this is a 3:30 CBS.
Let's just go into this real quick before we break the game out. This is everything wrong with college football in 2024.
Oh, here
this
we go.
Used to be your Rose Bowl game on January 1st at 4:30 in the afternoon. It's the Pac-10 versus the Big Ten. And our roses. Again,
I'm about to tell you why you're wrong.
And now it's on. And this music used to be SEC music.
Calm down.
Let me tell you why you're wrong.
Because I need my space.
You want to know what everything right with college football right now is?
Is that we get this
the fact
in September?
That this is it's September 21st tomorrow, and we don't have to see Michigan play freaking Bowling Green. All right,
well,
we're gonna get Michigan against USC.
I agree.
Enjoy it, my friend.
But
enjoy it.
They should both be in different conferences still, and this should be a non-conference battle for the ages.
Got it.
You've got of the most iconic
story.
Brands in like
story
yeah
program.
In college football. How can you not be happy?
He just wants to be angry.
I'm happy about the matchup. I'm not happy what it means. And that USC wins this game.
They're coming off a bye week.
They put Michigan basically in the dumpster of the Big Ten, and it's going to be tough for them. You know, it's going to be tough. Michigan is not the team they were the last few years.
No. And now you've got Georgia Tech and Louisville. And did we talk about this is going to be kind of – this might be a sneaky – sneaky it's, good game.
It's sneaky good, and I think it's sneaky important because Georgia Tech needs this. They've already got a loss in the ACC. Louisville went to the ACC championship game last year. They're a team that I think some people think could be back. I think if, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC are going to have that where their conference championship games are basically going to be who gets the bye, because I think both teams could be in the playoff. The ACC probably wishes that to be true. Georgia Tech wants to be there. They need to win.
Yeah, it's kind of a show-me game in a lot of ways for Brent Key and Georgia Tech. And not they haven't already shown things, but I think you got the win over Florida State, and it's like now you see how bad Florida State is, right? And now it's kind of like
– it's not going to help you down the road,
right.
Possibly.
Yeah, Bo picked them against, Syracuse, and he's like, this is the only team I believe in, and they let him down against Syracuse. And so it's like, okay, which version are we getting in the long – you know, as far as longevity goes throughout the season? I'm not really sure just yet. So it's kind of go out and show me and prove to me that you're a good team.
And then you have Utah and Oklahoma State. So Utah ranked 12, Oklahoma State ranked 14. The first time they're meeting since 1945 for these two teams.
This is interesting for a lot of different reasons. First of all, I don't know what Oklahoma State is. It's much in the way that Georgia Tech, but Oklahoma State's had more success on the flip side. They beat Arkansas by the skin of their teeth a couple of weeks ago. I don't know, man. Let's see. Oklahoma State is just one of those teams. I swear if we could go back. Oklahoma State, it seems like every year, right around the 1st of October, is ranked. And it's like something happens and they get that, you know, conference play and they kind of hit the skids a lot of times. But this is a team that in this new Big 12, they need to establish themselves, man.
Well, Utah traditionally has been a physical team. And that's what I'm looking at. Are they the same physical team that they have been? That's why they were playing in Pac-12 championship games when there was a Pac-12, because of the physicality that they bring and giving teams like Oregon all the more than they could ever handle. Can Oklahoma State handle a physical Utah team if this Utah team comes in there and lays that physicality down?
And you've got Cam Rising, who it appears, according to Pete Thamel with ESPN, that he is going to be that he's going to play on Saturday.
I'm just shocked. Yeah, I'm just shocked we didn't hear Bo say, this is a classic Sun Bowl matchup. You know what I mean? This is crap. We don't get to see this in the Sun Bowl this year.
All right. There's a big difference in saying that the traditional Rose Bowl that we've seen for years is gone now, and the Sun Bowl. Now, I do love the Sun Bowl.
You know what's funny is when we talked about the Rose Bowl saying they didn't want to be a part of the playoff, I think you were like against the Rose. You were like, this is ridiculous. You don't control college football.
Well, what I said was it's ridiculous that you're not going to have one of the biggest games that we've always had into the playoff because you want a freaking parade every year.
You know what? I'm going to ask you to take some space right now, okay?
Things change.
Take some space. You need it.
Yes, ma'am.
When we come back, the Braves offense erupts. And are you a hugger? Maybe some people are
not
in this room. Maybe some people aren't. Maybe it gets awkward, as we saw in Thursday Night Football. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the Morning Shift for TB's Timeout on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Where the Braves have scored at least 10. And on cue, Michael Harris is going to add on. Third homer of the series for Harris. It's 12-3.
That call, courtesy Brandon Godden, Bally Sports, as the Braves offense just erupts, beating the Reds 15-3. So you heard Money Mike had the solo shot there. Matt Olson hit two of Atlanta's six home runs total, and Chris Sale is now gets his MLB-leading 18th win on the season.
Yeah, I
Cy Young, right?
If Chris Sale doesn't win the Cy Young this year. In fact, if he's not unanimous first place votes, if he doesn't win the Cy Young, I won't do that part because there's always some more.
Like, you're setting yourself up to be angry.
If he doesn't win the Cy Young, I will sit in silence for an entire show. I will sit here and not speak because it will be robbery. I will sit here in this chair and I will abstain from speaking for a one show.
I'm not sure if that's better or worse for us, but
I'm gonna tell you how hard that would be for me. That's how good he's been. He grinded a little bit yesterday in only five innings. Matt Olson has been on fire since sometime in August. At this point, I mean, he's now up to 28 homers. He hit a three-run homer at one point. Him and Harris combined to go 5-for-8 with 8 RBIs, 4 home runs, 7 runs scored. And it's just, that was a phenomenal stat line from him and Michael Harris.
I want you to talk a little bit, too, because you and I talked this morning in the build-up to the show about how some of these numbers are shaping into numbers that we didn't imagine midway through the year that we would see from this Braves team.
Yeah, I think you're going to get to the end of the year, Mike, and you say, well, Marcell Ozuna, 40 homers, thereabouts, 100-something RBIs. Matt Olson, 30 homers, 100-something RBIs. And you're going to say, you know, Olson had a great year last year, like a career year.
Yeah.
This year has been exactly who he is, which is 30-plus homers, 100-plus RBIs, you know, right around 300 on base. That's who he's been, a very good defensive player. That is a very good back of the baseball card. It just has not looked the way we thought it was going to look.
Definitely.
The Braves have become the first team in Major League history to hit 4 3-run homers in a game. That's according to Elias Sports. They remain 2 games behind the final NL wildcard spot. Speaking of MLB history, Shohei Ohtani, just to make sure we want to get this in here, becomes the first player to join the MLB's 50-50 club. That's 50-plus home runs and 50-plus stolen bases in a single season. Your thoughts real quickly.
It was historic because of the 50-50, but it took it to another level the way he did it. The 6-for-6, 10 RBIs.
It's insane.
They showed a video of one of the home run balls, and they're literally fighting each other. People are going to be talking about this day that they were there to see one of the greatest performances you've ever seen in one game at the plate.
Thursday night football went down last night, and we saw the Jets beat the Patriots 24-3, which, by the way, it's their first home win against the Patriots since December 27th of 2015. They lost the last previous, and you may have saw an attempted celebration kind of trying to go down there between quarterback Aaron Rodgers and head coach Robert Saleh. It looked like a hug, but it wasn't a hug. Maybe a hug that was rejected by one party and the head coach. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the awkward exchange.
No, it was not really awkward at all. I didn't know. He's not a big hugger usually, so I didn't know he was going for the hug. He likes to do the two-hand chest push as well. But he talks a lot about two-score leads. So I just kind of gave him a push and said, two-score lead. That's what happened.
So if you heard Rogers, he says it wasn't awkward that Robin Saleh is not a big hugger. And so it looked like Saleh was going in for the two-hand chested push, like, yeah, my guy, like,
yeah, my guy.
Yeah, my guy. That's what I love to say. I always love to do my dude impersonations with, like, my guy. Hey,
who talks like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, my
guy. And so Rogers looked like he might have gone in for the hug. It didn't happen, and people had some fun with it.
And I think the only awkward part was the look on Aaron Rodgers' face. Like, none of the other. If Aaron Rodgers smiles and laughs like about this entire thing, this is not awkward at all. But I did. It was so funny because the minute it happened, I'm trying to read his lips, and I'm like, did he just say two scores? Two scores? And sure enough, two score lead. And like. I get it, man. He's like still all about business. He's in the right frame of mind. I just think if he'd have just smiled, this wouldn't even be a talking point. He'd have just laughed it off.
Yeah, it's definitely the look he gave him. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you?
Get away from me!
Like, grow up. It almost looked like it's not nowhere. It's not nowhere near the same. But it reminds me of when Nick Sirianni is talking trash in the Super Bowl, and Jalen Hurts is like, "Hey, chill out. Like, act like an adult."
Yeah,
and so when players have to coach coaches on how to act, it feels weird, felt like that moment.
I thought it looked like Saleh was gonna do the two hand thing, but Rodgers might have been going in for the.
I thought that Saleh was going in for the hug, and Rodgers is like, bro, no,
he like double chest pounds him like this. I will say, Robert Saleh, how tall is he? He is a tall dude.
I've not met him in person.
He's got to be like 6'4", but he looks like Xerxes from 300. Honestly.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He was here in Atlanta when Dan was here, and he's a big dude. He's very definitely tall guy. Yeah. So really, you went three? He's not quite that. I mean, not quite 300.
Xerxes.
Yeah.
The Persian.
I know who you're talking of. Yeah, I know who you're speaking of. I don't think he looks that big.
Am I missed? Does he look that big?
Yeah, 6'4". To you?
Yeah. I just turned mine off. I'm out.
I need space from this show. I'll talk to y'all at 8 o'clock.
When we come back here on the morning shift, let's bring you back to the Falcons as they get set for the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.